This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. In 2003, Mayor Charles Worley of Asheville proclaimed December 18th Warren Haynes Day. Haynes is a revered singer, songwriter, and guitarist. He plays with the Allman Brothers Band, Government Mule, and is a Grammy-nominated solo artist as well. But it's not just his virtuosity that got a day named for him. Warren Haynes has used his skills and connections to improve life for Asheville's most vulnerable citizens. Warren is a native of Asheville, and he's hosted a Christmas jam concert for the past 23 years, sending the proceeds to the local chapter of Habitat for Humanity. It started small and has grown steadily to become a sold-out event at the Asheville Civic Center. The next Christmas jam is this Saturday, December 10th, and it features Government Mule, Bela Fleck, Los Lobos, and Phil Lesh and Friends. And Warren Haynes joins me on the phone today. Warren, welcome.
Glad to be here.
Your casual little holiday get-together turned into quite a big event. Are you surprised at how it's grown?
I am. It's been such an organic, gradual thing. But I was surprised from the beginning. Each year got bigger and bigger, and it quickly turned away from being a local event to being a national event.
It's more than one concert now. I guess it started out as just one, but now there's an acoustic jam. How did that get started?
Well, there's a radio station called WNCW, which is an NPR station, that comes into the Orange Peel, which is the local 1,000-seat club, and we take about a six-hour chunk of the airtime and get kind of prepared for what's going to happen the next night. So there's a lot of acoustic music, but some electric as well, some interviews and a lot of collaborations with people who just met for the first time. So it's turned into a two-day event, Friday and Saturday, but the main event is Saturday night at the Civic Center.
That's great. How did the acoustic thing even get going? That was it was start out by accident, or somebody say, "Hey, let us play too," or how did it get started?
You know, as with everything with the Christmas Jam, it's all been organic. We never had designs on it turning into any certain thing. I guess when I met and started working a lot with Kevin Kinney and Edwin McCain, one year Edwin hosted a benefit called America Street, and I helped him with that. And I asked him and Kevin Kinney to come and help me with Christmas Jam. That's the year I think that it started becoming more well-rounded and including acoustic music. But one of the things that we pride ourselves in with the Christmas Jam is the diversity. The music goes all over the map, from rock to blues to jazz to bluegrass to, the sky's the limit. You know, one minute we'll have Ralph Stanley, and the next minute we'll have Branford Marsalis. So
yep.
It's one of those things that I think keeps people interested, especially over the course of a 7 or 8 hour show.
Yeah, a lot of variety and a lot of familiar names, as you just suggested. Sarah Lee Guthrie is going to be there with Johnny Irion performing at the Acoustic Jam. Sarah, Woody Guthrie's granddaughter and Arlo's daughter. Johnny grew up as a musician right here in the Triangle, and actually we have a sample of them playing together, Sarah Lee Guthrie and Johnny Irion.
It's a sunny Saturday. People having fun. I hear them out on the front porch laughing at the crazy things that they've done. That old lawnmower's cranking up. The branches scrape the windows. You know I think of our love, babe, every time that the wind blows so hard. You're not here, but you're never too far from my heart.
Sarah Lee Guthrie and Johnny Irion going to play the acoustic jam at the Christmas Jam in Asheville this weekend. What do you admire about their music, Warren?
Well, I'm a big folk music fan in general. So, I've been a fan of singer-songwriter music all my life. When I was 14, I used to go sneak in these folk clubs and listen to folk musicians and singer-songwriters. That's always been a big part of what I do, and obviously the family connection there doesn't hurt. But it's a small world because as I mentioned, Kevin Kinney earlier. Kevin made a record for Evil Teen Records, which is a label that my wife and I own and operate. And they did a song with Kevin on that record called Just Outside of Heaven. And it's a beautiful song, beautiful rendition. And so I'm looking forward to hearing, hopefully, those guys perform it together.
You talked about sneaking into those clubs. That would have been in Asheville, right?
In Asheville in the 70s, you know, you couldn't get away with that now. But back then, you know, it was a different sort of world. And I started playing in clubs when I was a teenager.
Now, that would have been the kind of music that would have been pretty popular or easy to get to in Asheville. The kind of music you play, that kind of throbbing blues sound, was that something you heard a lot growing up?
Well, in this particular club, one minute people would be playing folk music, and the next minute bluegrass, and the next minute blues. Anything that was roots-oriented and traditional seemed to be okay. And, of course, a lot of my influence came from my two older brothers, who both were record collectors and had tons of music for me to listen to. So even as a young child, I was listening to jazz and blues and folk music, and my dad loved bluegrass and Hank Williams, and you know, so there was a lot of variety around our house.
Was it a journey to find your own style?
Yeah, it always is. You know, I think at some point you have to tell yourself that you don't want to copy people anymore. You want to start trying to find your own voice, and of course, that's the beginning of the journey, and it takes a long time. You know. I think most everyone learns from the people they admire the most, and then at some point you decide to shut off those influences and figure out how you would do it yourself, you know, and it's a long, gradual process, but at some point your own personality hopefully takes over.
Well, it does in your case. You certainly are known for your own virtuosity, and then, but also that jam band style. You get in with other musicians, and you all seem to cook no matter who you're playing with. I'm guessing a concert like this on Saturday night has got to be heaven on earth for you.
Well, it is an opportunity for a kind of a family reunion. A lot of musicians that thrive on improvisation will be there, whether it's Bela Fleck, Phil Lesh, the guys from Los Lobos, the guys from Government Mule. And so a lot of collaborating takes place. In some cases, collaborations happen that have never happened before and sometimes never happened since. I really like seeing that. You know, one year when Dave Matthews came and he and Branford Marsalis wound up on stage together, they had never met before that night, and now, of course, they're old friends.
And Branford's the kind of guy who can just sit in
with anyone.
Bela Fleck, have you ever played with him before?
Absolutely, yeah. Known Bela for a long time. We played together quite a few times.
And you mentioned Los Lobos. They're going to be playing at the Jam, and we've got a little bit of their music we can listen to right here. A little bit of Los Lobos, Will the Wolf Survive. They're going to be at the Christmas Jam in Asheville, and I'm talking with the founder of that jam, Warren Haynes, on the phone with me now. How important do you think is Los Lobos to the whole, that approach, that kind of American melting pot that we now celebrate in this country?
Well, I think they're one of the greatest American bands. They've been around. I first heard them in the mid-70s. And the lineup has remained the same, which is really amazing. We became friends many years ago and have played together many times, but I really think they're one of the most important bands in American history, and the fact that they're still together is amazing. They do other things, but they always get back together and do Los Lobos. And I've been inviting the guys to Christmas Jam for several years now, but they're coming all the way from the West Coast, so that's a hard thing. this year it happened to work out, and I'm really proud to have them on the bill.
What do you think accounts for that? Why do some bands like Los Lobos, a collection of very talented musicians who do go off and do their own thing, they've created their own sound, it's evolved over time, and yet they stay together and they remain popular and fresh decades after they began?
Well, with those guys, they're still friends, which I love seeing. You know, I've spent many nights with David Hidalgo and Cesar Rojas just hanging out and telling stories. And there's just a wonderful familial vibe there. But I think in the case of a lot of bands, you realize that you have this special chemistry. And when you get away from it for a little while, you start missing it and realizing how important it is not only to yourselves but to the listening community. And I think it's one of those things where you stumble on a chemistry and it works, and you realize it needs to stay together.
Yeah, it's interesting to think that it actually recharges each of their batteries, and they can actually. That was an interesting thing you said about you starting to feel it as a musician. Say, we got to get back together and do that thing, so I can go off and do my own thing.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Feel it even better and stronger. Hey, you might have heard, I'm sure you've heard, Hubert Sumlin, the guitar for Howlin' Wolf, died recently.
I did, yes.
How big an influence was he on you?
Hubert was a huge influence and someone I was proud to say was my friend. We played together many times. The most recent one with the Allman Brothers at the Beacon Theater, he came out and joined us, and of course he was sitting down and he was on oxygen, but he was still playing great with a smile on his face, and till the very end he was just a joyful human being that always seemed to be in a good mood. And those Howlin' Wolf records that he played on are among my favorite records of all time, but also historically some of the greatest records ever made.
You are responsible for some great records in the hall that should be in the Hall of Fame, the Recordland Hall of Fame. All of which, or most of which, I guess we associate you with that kind of blues sound, Allman Brothers, Government Mule. And yet, you're also known for covering some unexpected songs like When Doves Cry by Prince, for instance.
Well, I wound up putting it before and after one of my songs, which is called Beautifully Broken. And I did it in a way that is completely different from the original. I think one of the signs of a great song is that you can interpret it so many different ways. And that's why you see people doing Beatles songs so many different ways and that sort of thing. When Doves Cry is a great song. And so once I realized that it would work really well in a completely different context, I was able to kind of make it my own thing. For me, it's important if you're going to do someone else's song, it's important to put your own stamp on it and take it somewhere other than where it already was. And fortunately, great songs are perfect for that.
Well, we have that here, and we can hear a little sample right now.
Baby, I'm just like my mother. She's never satisfied. Why do we scream at each other? This is what it sounds like when the doves cry. Here I go again.
Here's Warren Haynes doing his version of When Doves Cry. How did you approach that song?
Well, the first thing I did was adapt it to a whole different tempo so it would fit in with the song Beautifully Broken. The original Prince version was very up-tempo and like a dance beat. And the song Beautifully Broken is more mid-tempo, almost like a ballad. So changing the tempo and adapting it to the key signature of the other song and just kind of interpreting it from there, it has much more of a melancholy sort of mood. And it also almost takes on a Mediterranean sort of feel when you do it that way.
You know, you talked about making a song your own and adapting it. It just seems to me that this is what hip-hop is all about as well, what jazz has always been about. It's not only creating your own stuff, but creating your stuff, paying homage to the stuff that's done before you.
Yeah, and in the case of jazz, a lot of what we call momentary composition, where you're composing on the spot, you're improvising to the point that the music hasn't been determined yet. It doesn't get determined until you get there. And that's that jazz philosophy carries over to the jam band community and bands like the Grateful Dead and the Allman Brothers and Phish and Widespread Panic and Government Mule obviously share that philosophy. But I think any open-minded approach to taking the music into the future is a welcome thing in that community.
So we know you get back to Asheville at least once a year for the past 23 years. How has the music scene changed there, would you say?
When I was growing up there, there were a lot of great musicians, especially guitar players. There was a lot of great bluegrass. There were blues players and rock players. In the 70s, before the drinking age changed from 18 to 21, the club scene was thriving and flourishing, and you could play even your own music. You could play original music and kind of make a living. But when the drinking age changed, everything changed. And, of course, disco came along. I moved away from Asheville when I was around 21 or 22 years old. And since then, coming back in the past 15 years or so and seeing it become like a little bohemian oasis, it's been wonderful. The music scene is flourishing. The art scene, the multicultural diversity in general is really wonderful to see. And so now Asheville is coming into its own in the way of like Austin, Texas, or some of these towns that kind of carve out their own niche.
Hey, congratulations, by the way. Your album Man in Motion just nominated for a Grammy.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited about that.
How do you balance your time? Or I guess my question is, do you prefer working solo, working in the bands? Do you find yourself getting tired of one and wanting to move on to another?
Well, that's a tough question to answer. When I joined the Allman Brothers in 1989, that's the biggest career break that's happened to me. So I owe the Allman Brothers a lot for my career. When I started Government Mule in 94, that became something that I want to keep together into the future, even after the Allman Brothers retire. I'm more comfortable in a band situation, like with Government Mule or in the Allman Brothers, where I'm the singer or the songwriter or one of the singer-songwriters, but I really enjoy being a solo artist as well. So the way that worked out this year was that Government Mule was taking a break. The Allman Brothers were not doing a lot of shows, so it allowed me time to put out my solo record, which is the first one in a long time. The fact that it was nominated for a Grammy is icing on the cake.
What are you working on now?
I think the next project will be a new Government Mule record. By the time we get to it, it will have been 3 years.
Well, we'll look forward to that. Warren, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Warren Haynes is a singer, songwriter, and guitarist, plays with the Allman Brothers band Government Mule, works on solo albums as well. His newest, the Grammy-nominated Man in Motion. Warren's Christmas Jam happens in Asheville this weekend. Concert is sold out, but you can still catch the acoustic jam, and there are many ways to lend a hand to Habitat for Humanity in Asheville and enjoy the music. Find out how the Christmas Jam operates at xmasjam.com/2011. That's X-M-A-S Jam. Coming up next, extra magic in this year's Nutcracker. Find out why on the State of Things. Stay tuned.